Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Game 2 weeks ago in Ireland. Rodgers to throw it. Wide open! Washington! He'll get caught from behind, and Washington loses the ball. It's punched out of bounds. Line of scrimmage, just shy of the 11. 10th play of the drive. Rodgers, sprint out. On the move, directing traffic. Throws! Touchdown! Connor Hayward! Gainwell in the backfield. Rodgers pump. Rodgers throw. Separation. End zone. Touchdown. He put it in the bucket to DK Metcalf. Deep drop for Gabriel. Out of the pocket. On the move. Caught from behind. Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Was that a performance limits? Was it not? They absolutely broke the Cleveland Browns in half. Now, the Browns stink. We know that. But I said this last week coming off the Vikings game. The Patriots game was one thing. I felt like that was more about the Patriots dropping the ball than the Steelers playing a great brand or even a good brand of defense in that game, honestly. But that Vikings game, maybe the fact that it was in Dublin where a little Steeler magic from history may have been conjured, with the Rooney family and just with the unbelievable crowd there and the whole thing that went on there. I wonder if that cast a good spell over everything. I just wonder, because the defense that day, even though they had some breakdowns, was violent and destructive and vicious. I've spoken before about how these Steelers, I'm talking the TJ Watt, Cam Hayward Steelers, the Mike Tomlin Steelers, their defenses, while they've done great things, have never lived up to their predecessors in terms of doing things in big games, but also in terms of being consistently intimidating. And they were again yesterday. That's two performances in a row. And for people who think that form of intimidating, brutal, violent, vicious defense is dead in the NFL, oh my God, just turn on that tape from yesterday. That was a 10-star performance. I can't believe that Dillon Gabriel survived. That little guy is taking all kinds of heat on social media. I thought it was amazing that he was standing, let alone still making a play here or there. After he took 16 quarterback hits and just got pounded. At one point, there were four Steelers tearing him limb from limb. I believe it was Peyton Wilson, Derek Harmon, TJ Watt, and Nick Herbig, who was just an absolute monster. What a great draft pick he was. All four got a piece of him on the play, and Ian Eagle said, can you give sacks out as a third? He said, how about as a fourth? Each one gets a fourth of a sack. You had hits that were over the line, illegal. You had tons of hits that were very legal. And you had Jerry Jeudy pulling his arms back like Ron Cook from a check at a restaurant table. I mean, did you see that play? Did you see that play late in the first half? Juan Thornhill had Jeudy in his crosshairs, and Judy's arms became the size of, I don't know, Limit's legs.
Maybe a T-Rex's arms.
Yeah. Well, maybe an alligator. They don't call it alligator arms for nothing. That, my friends, was pure intimidation. That was vintage Steelers defense. And I loved watching it. I just loved it. You can play old school defense in the NFL. You got to be willing, I guess, to go over the line a little bit. And they did at times. Who cares? That only serves to further the cause. That's what gets a guy like Jerry Jeudy looking around. That's what gets a guy like Dylan Gabriel wanting to get rid of the ball in 1 second, although I thought he hung in there pretty well considering the pounding that he was taking. So here's my question to you in the wake of that. In a year where I think the Steelers are clearly better than they were, and the AFC is clearly worse, and that's a great combination. Here's my question. The Steelers at 4-1 going in to face the fighting Joe Flaccos, and what might they do to him? Some people might say they might lose. I don't think so. I think they break him in half too. The question I present to you is this. Is it too early for apologies from me? From a lot of you out there, to Mike Tomlin, to this defense, to Aaron Rodgers, etc. Is it too early for apologies? Is it too early to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong? It's hard to say I'm sorry, Limits. It's hard to say I love you. There was an episode of Happy Days long before you were born where Fonzie, who was the cool one on Happy Days, couldn't say I love you. So the whole episode was him trying to say that. He would say, I love you, I love you. He couldn't say that. It's hard to say I'm sorry as well and just let it stand as an I'm sorry. But guess what? I'm not quite ready. I'm not quite ready for that yet, at least on the defense front. Because, well, there, Dan Zangrilli is an example we all should live by, right?
Exactly.
Think of last year. We can be prisoners of the moment. The Steelers were playing a pretty good brand of defense. That, my God, they were 10-3 at one point. Think of how we all felt after the Washington game against a really good team last year, one of the surprise teams in the league and a really good rookie quarterback. And the Steelers win that game 28-27. The defense wasn't great. It made some plays late. My point is we were pretty high on the Steelers then. And we all know what happened. Now, there's not a Christmas tournament headed our way this year, in the words of Art II. There are some tougher games on the schedule, but I would argue not as tough as I originally thought. A lot of those games, obviously the Baltimore games look that way, not as tough. And the Bengals games, I don't know that I've ever seen a division in the NFL implode like this. Moral of the story, Cam Hayward was right a couple weeks back when he said we need to be playing great defense into January. They need to do that. They need to stay healthy. They need to be the kind of defense that has lasting power. And we really haven't seen them yet, unless I'm mistaken here, against a great quarterback. The last 2 weeks that I've been very complimentary of them, they face backups. They face Carson Wentz. And now they face Dylan Gabriel. So, yes, we have to see that. So it is too early for any apologies to Mike Tomlin and all the guys who said how great this defense would be. But, man, after watching that, I can at least start leaning in that direction. And I think for Aaron Rodgers, it's not too early. I didn't think he was going to be very good this year. I can't believe I was alone in that thought. I know a lot of people did, but a lot of people didn't. And he's just flat out been, I think, excellent. Under adverse circumstances, the first 3 weeks anyway, when he was under severe duress, 2 or 3 weeks, he's just been really, really good. I know he missed a couple throws yesterday, but if he didn't miss those, he would have been like, you know, perfect. He's completing almost 70% of his passes. 10 touchdowns, 3 picks, and I think a 105.4 rating, which would be his highest since 2021. He's efficient. He's obviously highly football intelligent on the field. He's obviously has a penchant for making big precise throws just at the right times. I think he's just been really good. And yesterday, he even looked spry again. You know, the first week, he said his back hurt, and I believe it now because in the game since then, he's looked, I think, increasingly a little bit more nimble. Certainly not the vintage Rodgers, but when he's rolling right like he did on the touchdown to Connor Hayward and throwing against the grain, an absolute laser, and Hayward made a great catch too. When he's doing that, that's kind of vintage stuff right there. So not too early for the apology there. It is too early for the defense. How about you and the team as a whole? I think it's too early for any apologies. You know, let's see what happens. Let's see if they can go out on a Thursday night on the road in the AFC North. I think they're 0-6 in their last six such games. And win one of these things, even against the broken Bengals. 412-928-9370. Are you ready to issue any sort of apology to anybody over there? Mike Tomlin? The defense, Aaron Rodgers, anybody else? 928-9370. I'm sorry, Aaron. I would like to say limits with no qualifiers. However, I'm going to stand on my original thoughts and themes with the defense, which is I have to see this against starting quarterbacks, real offenses, high-powered offenses. Let's see what happens here. But having said that, the performance in front of us, and I don't give a crap who it was against, was one of the most violent in memory. I mean, that was incredible. And I also think that this much is indisputable. Again, that's 928-9370. Off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. The Steelers are absolutely better than they were last year. Start with the most important position on the field. Aaron Rodgers is better than Russell Wilson was, even when he was going well here. It's more consistent. It's more believable in terms of its lasting power. It's more precise. He's better. That's a big deal to have your quarterback be better. Then you look at the offensive line, and suddenly you see Troy Fatanu out on that right side giving us ample proof as to why the Steelers were so high on him. He's a people mover, is what he is. Mason McCormick taking strides. Broderick Jones, maybe most notable of all. Now, he had a ton of help yesterday. If you watched every snap, you saw that on almost every one, Myles Garrett was getting chipped. He was getting double teamed. But when I'm not going to take credit away from Broderick Jones either. Because when he was one-on-one, he did the job, and he did the job in general. They also schemed away from Myles Garrett, a classic example, being that touchdown throw to Connor Hayward, where Rodgers rolled as far away from Garrett as you possibly can on the football field by design. Garrett still got hit by two people, Jones and Seumalo on the play, and then Rodgers throws the touchdown. But Broderick Jones deserves credit for shutting out the noise, and the criticisms were legitimate, and just buckling down and getting to work. I think the offensive line is better. DK Metcalf is better than George Pickens. DK Metcalf is what George Pickens should be if he keeps his head on straight 7, 8, 9 years into the league. I know there's a big outcry. The Steelers should have kept George Pickens. How do people know what would have happened here if Pickens had stayed along with a guy who took his job and his money? Not well, in my opinion, but that's a topic for later in the show. Defensively, they are absolutely better, without question. You look up front, Derek Harmon adds to the group. Hayward is healthy, which he wasn't at the end of last season. Highsmith is healthy. Peyton Wilson has taken a jump. Patrick Queen kind of quietly has taken a jump. Tomlin told the broadcast crew he thought Queen played his best game as a Steeler in Dublin. I thought he was really good again yesterday, just hammering people. Jerome Ford, he just buried and then came back for more on the next play. It was sort of an even battle on the next play. Patrick Queen's playing his best football. And then most notably in the secondary with the addition of Jalen Ramsey. Minkah Fitzpatrick was fading. Credit to Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin, who I'm sure was in on this as a guy who wanted Jalen Ramsey. What a steal. Now that one, I and many others did call right when it happened. Like, how can this not be a great trade? They just got at least two good players in Ramsey and Jonnu Smith for a fading player in Minkah. That's proving to be a great trade. And really, we can wrap this all up in the Steelers got themselves a quarterback and they got themselves two stars for minimal return. They've added prodigious talents in Metcalf and Ramsey for very, very little return. I mean, a second round pick is valuable, but if you watch DK Metcalf, touchdowns in four straight games, and it seems like many more are coming. Could have had two yesterday. Was wide open on the one in, heading toward the end zone. Again, credit to Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin for bringing in those two guys. They added, that is a ton of talent. And you win with stars in the NFL. I think every sport. You win with stars. Ramsey hasn't been perfect in coverage this year, but he's been way more great than bad. They brought in two star-level talents is what they did and gave up very little in return. That's gigantic.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Having said that, I get it. They played sort of a wounded Vikings team, although the Steelers were wounded too, with Carson Wentz at quarterback. And now they played the Browns, who again are really bad. Good defense. Maybe people think that defense is better than it really is, but just a horrific offense. 412-928-9370. How about Nick Herbig? I can't stop talking about him. I wrote about him today a little bit. What a draft pick he was, Limits. 132nd overall in 2023. This dude has just become a game wrecker. He's one of the great fourth-round picks in recent Steelers history. Sacked Dylan Gabriel twice. Probably should have had his second career interception. He bobbled that one right in his hands. But we'll forgive him for that because he's having a great year. And if you look at that draft class, I think that Nick Herbig is going to be the best pass rusher out of the 2023 class. And he was taken in the fourth round. Now, Will Anderson's pretty darn good. I know that. But Will Anderson has made 30-some starts and has 21 sacks. Nick Herbig has made 7 or 8 starts. I don't know if he was officially listed as a starter yesterday. He's made 13. He's only 8 behind. And this is a guy who's going to catch up fast to people. Plus, he's forced 7 fumbles in his career. All the guys taken ahead of him in that draft who have more sacks than him, and there's only 5 of them, he's combined to force more fumbles practically than all of them combined. The only guys ahead of Herbig from that draft class in sacks are Byron Young, third rounder for the Rams, has 23. Will Anderson, Kobe Turner from the Rams, and man, do they draft well. 18 and a half. I don't even want to pronounce the guy's name from the Chargers, has 18 sacks, and Will McDonald, the fourth, the Jets, has 15 and a half. But they've all made 20 starts. Herbig is right there with 13 sacks, and his playing time's only going to increase limits. I think this dude's going to be the best pass rusher out of that draft. Things happen when he tackles quarterbacks, too. 7 forced fumbles, 3 fumble recoveries, and an interception to go along with his 13 career sacks. This kid is an unbelievable stud. And again, credit to the Steelers for drafting him. I'm in the mood to dole out credit today. Why not? Why shouldn't I? Credit, apologies, whatever you want. 412-928-9370, while still keeping a healthy perspective on what we're seeing, considering the competition. But that's the other story here. By the way, do you know who the Bengals took one pick before Nick Herbig? A team that is in such, and has been, in such need of desperate help. Imagine what Nick Herbig would be doing for the Bengals. He would lead that draft class by 8 sacks right now in his career if he was on the Bengals, because he'd be a starter and getting after quarterbacks. Who did the Bengals take right before the Steelers took Herbig at 132?
I'm guessing it's probably a backup offensive lineman I've never heard of.
No, it's a person named Charlie Jones.
Never heard of him.
A wide receiver who has had a couple of return touchdowns, but has 2 catches or 7 catches. I can't remember which, or read this computer, in his entire career. Just imagine that. Who's the greatest fourth round pick in Steelers history? Limits. Wrong. John Stallworth from 1974.
No doubt.
Do we have calls?
We do.
Please get to them.
Let's start with Tom. He's in Youngstown.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, guys. Hey, that's fine, but they really haven't played anybody yet. But what are we going to do with this receiver? Do you realize we've got number 13 and number 15 running around this field doing absolutely nothing?
And so the first call of the day is a complaint.
It is a big complaint. I'm tired of watching this team with no receivers. You can't go play the big boys with one receiver.
Well, maybe that'll rectify itself later in the year. Maybe they go out and get somebody. Maybe they do.
What are they waiting for? What are they waiting for?
Maybe for a team to get worse and want to trade somebody. Maybe something like that before the trade. Is it hurting them? They're 4-1. Is it hurting them right now?
Roger Miller and Ben Skowronek. Ben Skowronek's not a receiver. He's a good special teams player.
The first call of the day is a... ring a bell, Limits. Ring a bell. The first call of the day is a Ben Skowronek call. And they say, I'm negative. Can you believe this?
No, honestly, I cannot believe it.
We have a bell.
Come on, Tom.
They can't even get Freiermuth the ball. You know, is Tom there still? There you go. Tom, you got a nice little bell. Every time Tom says Ben Skowronek, an angel gets its wings. Next.
All right, let's move along to Emmanuel and Carnegie. I don't think he'll be negative.
Don't get me wrong. I agree with the overall sentiment there. They still need, I think, a second receiver. And a lot of people bitching and moaning about George Pickens, which I'm sure I'll get calls on that as well. But for today... for today, there's way more reasons to celebrate than fret. Do you agree with me, Limits, on that?
I fully agree with you on that. Yes, and I mean, from what they showed, the defense played very well. The offense is controlling the tempo.
Played very well. They almost left guys dead on the field on the other team.
They made Dylan Gabriel
in worse shape than the turf itself was Dylan Gabriel in that offensive line.
They made Dylan Gabriel look like a JV high school quarterback. He played awful. But the big reason why is because of the line. I respectfully disagree
with that. Under the circumstances and the fact that by the end of the game, he only had one working limb, that dude stood in there tough as hell and was, except with some notable exceptions, was delivering the ball short and kind of accurate. I actually came out with more respect for Dylan Gabriel than before the game. How many quarterbacks would have walked into that minefield yesterday with that offensive line and those lack of weapons and done any better than him? I don't know. This is a problem for teams. We're talking about a pass rush. I'm looking down on the field saying, my God, when they're healthy.
Yeah.
My God, there's T.J. Watt, Herbig, Highsmith, Hayward, Benton coming off the best game of his career, Harmon, and then whoever they choose to blitz. It was Jalen Ramsey a lot yesterday, 2 sacks. Patrick Queen is a really good pass rusher. Peyton Wilson's a maniac. They are a problem. Anyway, Emmanuel, how are you?
I'm doing better than the last caller, I can tell you that.
What's up?
Yeah, I'm not worried about a second receiver right now. What I'm seeing on both sides of the ball is that we're very versatile. We can play, like, against the Jets. We can play a spread offense, you know, move the ball around, pass the ball around to multiple receivers, as we did yesterday with the big bodies. It was amazing to see. And we're missing Calvin Austin. What I really noticed is our defense. We got a lot of depth. We got a lot of talent in a lot of places. The Jalen Ramsey acquisition was just awesome. It's going to make a big-time difference. I thought, like, the Browns' offensive line was more tired than ours. Usually the offense is, you know, ahead of the defense, and the defense is wearing down. Their line was tired. Like, yeah. It was amazing to see.
Yeah, and it has to be acknowledged that they were overseas a week ago, and the Steelers were on a bye week. People talked about it, and I think they're right, as the greatest rest advantage in the history of the NFL. So that needs to be acknowledged. But see, what I'm seeing has nothing to do with any of this stuff. What I'm seeing, when I've seen the greatest Steelers defenses on the field, the word that comes to mind is violent. And this defense is that. So we'll see how that translates. But this defense is that.
How do you feel? How do you feel about our chances in Cincinnati? That's the typical Mike Tomlin game. And I'm very fearful of it.
Well, they're 0-6, I believe. Is that what Donnie Football said? And thank you, Emmanuel, for the call. In their last Thursday night road games in the division?
Correct,
six,
yes.
Thursday night. I mean, we think of Cleveland last year. I think of Cleveland and Jacoby Brissett. I can't think of other games.
DTR?
Well, that wasn't
that
a Thursday.
That wasn't a Thursday, but Jameis Winston was a Thursday night in the snow last year.
Yes, it was in the snow. So it'll be interesting and telling. I think they're going to be ready to play and ready to destroy that team. I actually like that Tomlin sat out some guys, it looked like, late in the game. Now, better offenses and quarterbacks are coming, which is why you need to put that one in the bank. You got to put that one in the bank and go to 5-1, or else you're 4-2 with Green Bay coming to town. I think that's a really good team, and that's going to be a fun Sunday night. Then Indy. And you know what Shane Steichen has done to Mike Tomlin over the past couple years? He's put up about 70 points on Tomlin's defenses with, who's the guy with the mustache?
Gardner Minshew?
Gardner mustache, thank you. And last year with Flacco and Anthony Richardson before Richardson left hurt. So that's a matchup to watch for this defense. And then Justin Herbert. Those are three really intriguing games for this defense and a proving ground. And you still have Josh Allen and presumably Lamar at least once and Jared Goff. But you also have Miami. You get to five wins. I think you're bound for at least 11 or 12, don't you?
Wow, we're pushing 12.
Why not?
We're pushing 12 wins.
They have Joe Flacco twice. That's seven. They're going to beat Baltimore once. That's eight. I hate to say this, but they have to beat Cleveland. That's 9. Miami at home is 10.
I think they beat the Bears, too.
And then take another one. That's all right, I'll settle for 11. 11 or 12. I don't know, man. I think that the other part of this story that I was getting to before is the state of the AFC. And we talked about it, but it's not getting any better, although the Chiefs are getting better. It's going to be the Chiefs again, isn't it? We all know that. But the best teams so far are like Indy, Jacksonville. Do we believe in them? Did you see the I believe in Denver, but did you see the Denver game yesterday? The Chargers are banged up. And the Bills, I've told you about a million times, and you'll get a look at the Bills tonight, and I'll come in here tomorrow and say I was wrong. If that defense plays well tonight, that defense is awful. And I think the Steelers are going to pound the Bills here in Pittsburgh. I do. Because there's some questions about that offensive line at the moment, about Josh Allen's weapons, and certainly about the defense. The AFC has just blown wide open here. I mean, I can't believe this, and I don't remember a year like this. For as unpredictable as the NFL is, that's more to me on a week-to-week basis over time than it is preseason predictions. You know what I mean? Last year, who didn't have the Bills, Ravens, Texans, and Chiefs winning their division, right? You can usually look at those things and predict. Now, I don't know. I think the Patriots might win the AFC East. They're 4-2, and they already beat the Bills. The Bills lose tonight, Patriots in first place. The Steelers, if they don't win the AFC North, should fold their franchise. The AFC South looks like it might have a new winner, maybe Colts, maybe Jags. I'm not counting out the Texans. And after, I don't know, 9 straight years, it looks like the AFC West might have a new winner. This has been a wild start to the year. And if you told me in the first week of September that the Steelers might have the division basically clinched before Halloween, like 2 weeks before Halloween, I would have said you're out of your mind. But if they win, they're going to be 5-1. And the Ravens, who are the only other threat, are going to be 1-5. You can't lose that lead. You could forfeit games and not lose that lead. So here we are, and my question is it too early for apologies? Limits, do you want to say I'm sorry to anybody? I don't want to say I'm sorry yet to the defense or the team overall. I will on Aaron Rodgers. I think I was wrong about him. He's better than I thought he'd be. The other ones, I'm definitely waiting. To a certain degree, I am with him too. But he's already better than Russell Wilson was, and he's better than I thought he'd be. So the apology is warranted. The team as a whole, I'm holding off. You?
I will apologize if they do the same type of thing to Jordan Love and eventually to a couple other quarterbacks. I thought Aaron Rodgers was going to be good. I am clapping it up for Aaron Rodgers so far, but no apologies yet from me.
No apologies from Limits yet, although he should say I'm sorry to the entire world for wearing a Drew Aller jersey.
I'm sure we'll get to that
today. What are you doing, Limits?
I'm sure we'll get to that later, but it's the day the music died, Joe.
Man, I'll say.
The day the music died.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.